given to you the schedule of services here at Worth Baptist Church. But we wish to take a moment to address a few words to the young people who are listening on Worth Baptist Hour today. The month of November has been designated as Youth for Souls Month here at our church. We are vitally concerned about you as a young person in our community. We're concerned about your past. We're concerned about your present. We are concerned about your future. It is our desire to help you in any way that we possibly can. Perhaps today you're downtrodden, discouraged, somewhat despondent. We want you to know that here at Worth Baptist Church, you are uppermost in our minds. Throughout the month of November, we invite you to attend our Sunday school, study the Word of God with us, find a new sense of direction for your life. And then on the first Sunday of December, we have Youth Day. This will be an outstanding time, and we'll be making more announcements about it on later broadcast. But in the meantime, during the month of November, we want you to come and share with us the blessings of God. If during the week you need our help, if we can counsel you, if we can pray with you, if you need someone to whom you can talk, we trust that you'll feel free to call upon us here at Worth Baptist Church. For we have your needs and your desires and your future upon our hearts. Not only do we appeal to the young people today, but to the whole family. Worth Baptist Church is a family broadcast of the gospel. We bring you Christ each Sunday. We trust that these broadcasts are proving a blessing to your heart and to your home. We trust that you will use your telephone. Call someone else. Let them know that Worth Baptist Hour is on the air. We believe it'll be a blessing to them also. Our message today is based upon two verses of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. We shall read those verses, but first, I want you to join with me in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for Worth Baptist Hour and for the opportunity that we have to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Thy marvelous grace. We pray for the boys and girls, for the young people, for the mothers and daddies, for those businessmen, for those who are driving along the streets of our city and along the highways, wherever they might be, whatever they might be doing, whomever they might be, we pray that this broadcast would be a blessing to them and that it would bring men to Christ and bring men into Worth Baptist Church. And Heavenly Father, we ask that as we preach Thy Word, the Holy Spirit might direct the words into the hearts of those who hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." My message is based on three words found in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. These verses suggest to us that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is waiting for us to acknowledge Him. He is vitally concerned of our spiritual welfare, of our physical welfare, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Man is by nature a dependent being. We all depend upon the elements about us, the rain, the sunshine, the fresh air. We depend upon the productivity of the earth. We depend upon the factories, the schools, the shops, the commerce, all of the systems of government about us. We depend upon them day by day for our livelihood. But more important than those things of the material realm is that all-important question, what are you doing about your spiritual life? For the spiritual realm is most important. And man is looking for something or someone beyond himself. Every day we see on the part of man, in his nature, in doing the things that he does on the job, in government, at home, at work, at play, he's always reaching for something or someone beyond himself, and rightly so, for man is a dependent being. The tragic note is this: all too many people are looking in the wrong direction. People are looking into their own hearts to find the answer to the burdens and the problems and the cares of life. Man is trying to be his own God. Man is trying to bring God down to his own level and fashion God after his own image. But the reverse is true. God has created us in his image, and only in him can we find the fulfillment of our lives. My message today, I trust, will help you to see that the only one to whom we can look is the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall look first unto Jesus for a light in our darkened world. We shall look in the second place unto Jesus Christ for food for our hungry souls. We shall look in the third place unto Jesus for a way to our heavenly home. The human heart has been darkened by sin since the days of Adam's disobedience. Sin has been rampant within the universe. Consequently, the world about us is dark, for sin results in spiritual darkness. The darkness that enshrouds our world today takes on many forms, but it has one source. And that source is S-I-N, public enemy number one, sin, sin that breaks hearts, sin that disturbs homes, sin that reverses the principles of life. All of the darkness, all the gloomy picture is as a result of sin. It is dark today, but there is hope. For shining through all the dark clouds is the brilliant ray of sunshine. Above all the rumble and all the noise of a confused life, we hear the voice of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. If any man follow me, he shall walk in light. Jesus Christ offers for our pathway an everlasting light. Amidst all the darkness, amidst all the confusion, amidst all the chaos, there is the light of the world in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hasten to tell you that Jesus Christ is the light of the intellectual world. He's the light of the cultural world. He's the light of the social world, the economic world, the political world, the religious world. Yea, and Jesus Christ can be the light of your own individual world. The wise Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. With all of the darkness, with all of the problems, with all of the difficulties of life, We must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can provide us light. In the newspapers from day to day, and on the television screens and by way of radio, we are exposed to the crime and to the raging elements of sin all about us. Strangely enough, even those in high places are making statements today that displease those who have spiritual discernment. I'm thinking now of the statement of Dr. Margaret Mead, the Dean of American Anthropologists, who said this last week before a Senate committee that she felt that the use of marijuana by our young people was justifiable. How tragic. How unlike the American way and the Christian way is this statement from the anthropologist. But my friend out there today listening by radio, we must go beyond the anthropologist, beyond the sociologist, beyond the psychiatrist, beyond men in government, business, or politics. We must go to the true source of light and the true source of life, and that source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your world may seem dark. Perhaps your world is caving in on you. Perhaps you're suffering from a broken heart, a broken home, the loss of your job, the loss of loved ones, disappointments, heartaches, griefs, sorrows, trials, troubles, all these as a result of the darkness that enshrouds you right now. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ can penetrate all the darkness of your life. He can bring hope. He can bring salvation. He can bring joy. He can bring light into that darkened world. If but in this moment you would turn by faith to Him, Jesus Christ can be and wants to be a light for your darkened world. In Isaiah 60 and verse 19 we read, "The Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light." These words were written to you. He can be an everlasting light in your world of darkness. Not only that, but we must look unto Jesus in the second place for food for our hungry souls. We're told that a great percent of the world's population goes to bed every night hungry. Can you imagine that? It's hard for us in America, the land of plenty, to imagine that all around the world, babies, children, mothers and daddies are going to bed at night with the pangs of hunger. They're in misery. They're in woe. They're in want. And such a pity that men are like this today. And such a pity that men are in a greater darkness. For the darkness of physical starvation and the plight of those who are starving from the lack of food is not to be compared with the spiritual hunger that's abroad in the world today. And such a pity and such a tragedy, for there is bread in the Father's house and to spare. When Jesus was on the shore of Galilee, He said to His disciples and to the multitudes at large, "Come and dine." And you know, friend, Jesus is saying to you, however destitute, however despondent, however discouraged, however hungry, however empty, however meaningless and profitless your life might seem, Jesus Christ says to you this moment, "Come and dine. I am the bread of life." Jesus offers that bread to you. You remember Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." In other words, Jesus said this, "Your life is more than the satisfaction of physical appetites. You are made in God's image. You are a spiritual being. You must have spiritual food." And Jesus Christ provides that spiritual food. In the storehouse of heaven, by His redeeming grace, He brings that food to you. If you would but come and sit at His table, if you would but taste and see that the Lord is good, if you would but anchor your faith in Him, the living bread of life can be yours, and He will satisfy every longing and every desire of your heart. Have you tasted that bread? Have you given God a chance? Perhaps you've tried everything else. Perhaps you've tried to satisfy your soul in the mad pleasures of life. Perhaps you've tried economics. Perhaps you've tried the books. Perhaps you've tried the pleasures of the world. Why not quit trying these things and simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ? He has bread and to spare. He wants you to have that bread today. If you will in this moment say to Jesus, "Feed my hungry soul," He will do it. If you will pray that Jesus would satisfy the longing of your heart, I can assure you on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus Christ will satisfy that hunger, for He is food for you in this empty and unsatisfying existence. He is bread for your hungry soul. And then in the third place, we must look unto Jesus for light, for a way to our heavenly home. One of the most comforting passages in the New Testament is John chapter 14 and verse 6. There Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the way to heaven. What is heaven anyhow, someone asked? Am I not enjoying all the heaven that I shall ever know? Not so. Heaven is a place of eternal rest. Heaven is a place of joy, of peace, of happiness. Oh, I could go on to describe heaven, but the most important element and the most important question is this. Are you prepared for heaven? Are you ready to go to heaven? Jesus said, "I am the way to heaven." When God first approached man, He approached him through a blood sacrifice. Even in the Garden of Eden, the lamb was slain, blood was shed to cover the sins of Adam. From that moment till this, God has met man only through a blood sacrifice. Your only approach to God today is through Jesus Christ. For it is written in the Word of God, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That man Christ Jesus is waiting right now to show you the way. You may have tried 1,000 different ways. And I pause here to tell you that the way of the church will not take you to heaven, the way of your good works, the way of the civic club or organization to which you belong. You are doing the best you can. The waters of the baptismal pool, the Lord's table, none of these can take you to heaven. There is but one ladder that is long enough to reach heaven. That is in the form of a cross. And upon that cross, outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ bore your sins in His own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you. Jesus Christ canceled the debt of sin for you. Jesus Christ paved the way for you. Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's cross for your eternal redemption. He has made the way clear and plain. "He that heareth my word," Jesus said, "and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You can pass out of the realm of death and into the realm of life simply by trusting Jesus Christ. He is the way to heaven. Men can get to heaven without wealth and without prosperity, and without fame, and without prestige, and without popularity. Men can get to heaven without degrees. Men can get to heaven without having traveled to the distant points of the earth. But men can never get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Out there today listening to Worth Baptist Hour, I remind you with all of the strength that I can muster, if you miss Jesus' way, you'll miss eternal happiness and bliss and joy forever. If you miss the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's but one other way for you to go, and that's down the broad road to destruction, the road that leads to separation from God, the road that leads to hell and eternal suffering. Why not stop what you're doing this moment? Why not forsake your way and listen to the words of the wise Solomon? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Forsake that way. Take the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simply say to the Lord, Lord, feed my hungry soul. Lord, lighten my dark world. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, provide the way for me, for I cannot go by my way. If you will but do that, Jesus will make the way clear and plain. He invites you to come. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus wants you. He died on Calvary's cross to prove it. He waits this moment, seated at the right hand of God, to make intercession for you. If you would but in this moment open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in, He would be that light that you need in that little dark world that you're living in. He would be that food that you need so badly for your hungry soul. He would become the way for you to go to heaven. Do it now. Simply believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust that you'll write us this week and let us know about your decision. We would be thrilled to hear from you. It would be encouraging for us to know that you've heard Worth Baptist Hour and that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ even today. And for those of you who are Christians, perhaps you could not attend your own services today and you're listening to Worth Baptist Hour, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a card or a letter this week. Let us know that you hear this gospel broadcast. And we would be happy to know that you would be a prayer partner with us, praying every day that God would use Worth Baptist Hour to bring many souls to Jesus Christ. Again, may we remind you that it would be our pleasure to have you visit with us in our services today. Our morning worship hour at 11 o'clock. Our evening worship hour at 7 p.m. And in the meantime, until next Lord's Day at 10 o'clock, just keep on praying.